So a note, a point of interest that I want to share with you today is that literally today is the 17th anniversary of Deacon Ben Teeshrobe's ordination. And they had an Easter family reunion today, but I was asking him if I could honor him, and they couldn't be here. But I just wanted to mention that and put a nice big thanks out there for him for his dedication and all of his work over all of these years. So if you ever see him, let him know that you're grateful for the work that he does. I know the deacons are really blessed by what he has shown them and what he has taught them, and the deacons all do a wonderful job. So today is his 17th anniversary since his ordination as deacon. So thanks, Ben. In my English message, I talked about how we all suffer, and we all suffer differently. Some of us suffer through illness, sickness, disease. Some of us suffer through poverty. Others, we suffer through circumstance. And sometimes we get to suffer others and be their circumstance. And so everybody has a different kind of hard thing that they have to go through. But just like our sin, which we keep it a secret because it's embarrassing, because we like it so much or we hate it so much, but we don't want anybody to know. And yet what we don't know is that everybody has the same sin as you. Scripture says that there is no sin that you do that isn't common to mankind. So you're not special that way. Your secret isn't so unusual, but because you don't tell anybody, you feel like you're all alone. And it's the same thing when you suffer, because you're the one that's suffering. No one else knows what you're going through. That's true. But if you want support, you talk about it, you let people know. Let people know your sin. It helps. Get it off your chest. Tell God. Let people know your suffering. It helps. A lot of people aren't interested in you. Their lives seem to be all nice, and they don't want to hear about your problems. Well, find somebody who will. God will. And in the end, the scripture passage that we read says, after we suffer here for a little while, God himself is going to take us by the shoulders and stand us upright back on our feet. And he is going to give us joy. There will be no suffering. There will be no anger and no sadness, no confusion. Everything will be wonderful. And it might only be after this lifetime. But what's beautiful about all of this suffering in the meantime is we still believe in God. And that boggles people's minds. Why would you serve a God who allows suffering? Well, first off, you don't know him. If you knew him, it would make sense to you. On the other hand, now that we're suffering and we still are in love with God, unbelievers are boggled. They're like, how does that make any sense? And when they finally get over thinking how dumb that is, that's what they think, then they have to find out what it's all about. And God uses you as a window, as a mirror, to show them. That's what we were talking about. So, you're suffering? Yes, it's terrible. I was talking to my dad the other day. He's getting older. And I mentioned to him, you know, you're suffering, but what if this is a new stage of your life? And we just have to accept that. And he says, oh, that's just terrible. He just, oh. To accept that you can't be 25 and running around chasing fish or deer or baseballs or motorcycles or whatever it is that you, tractors, whatever it is you like to do. But there's times and seasons. We can trust God through all of them. He uses you to show himself to everyone around you. It encourages Christians and it opens eyes to unbelievers. So keep up the good work. You are the right stuff that God makes in Christ Jesus. My sermon today seems to me so plain. Pastors are always trying to learn more. Pastors are always trying to share something that's going to give somebody an aha moment, and that can even happen with a plain message. It's plain to me, but it is not common sense, and I'm surprised when I talk to people that they don't already know this. So I just want to keep it simple, but here we go. The title of my English message, and I think it's in the bulletin, is that Hell has no power. Hell has no power. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Isn't that interesting? Fear God. He can destroy your soul, and he will use hell to do it. Who's the central point of that statement? Revelations chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. "And another angel, a third, followed them and saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast,'" that's not Satan, that's the beast that's going to come up in the end times. "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night. These worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Hell is a fearful, terrible, terrifying place. Revelations chapter 20, verse 10, and verses 13 through 15. Verse 10 says, "And the devil had deceived them." The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan is not willing to go to hell. Satan is going to be thrown against his own will into a torturous place. Hell is not Satan's place. Hell is the place Satan does not want to go. God is going to place him there. Verse 13 through 15 say, "And the sea gave up all the dead who were in it. Death and Hades," Hades is the grave, Hades is not hell, "Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to the work that they had done, and then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Matthew chapter 13, verse 42. "And throw them into the fiery furnace in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." 2 Peter 2, verse 4. "If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but he cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment." And there's more to say, but I stop there because the focus and emphasis is on hell today. The simple truth that I'm trying to show you is that hell has no power. Hell has no power. Hell is not a person. Hell doesn't have an idea. Hell isn't trying to get anybody. Hell is a place to go. Hell has no power. It's a terrible place. There will be terrible torture for everyone who goes there. No one rules that place who goes there, except for God who doesn't go there. But no one rules from hell. Hell is no kingdom. Hell is no country. Imagine if Canada was to go to war against France. I picked two non-places because that's never going to happen. Just for an example, Canada has power. Canada has allies in other countries that would help to fight. We have power. And so does France. France has power. And France has allies that would come to help them and help fight. And there would be an epic battle, and many lives would be pointlessly lost due to the fighting And in the end, one country would stand victorious or they would decide to have peace. But if France goes against Canada or Canada against France or any country against another country, there is power there and there is a battle. But hell? Hell has no power. Clausens or Penners, Friesens or Bergs, if you went to steal something from their house, or if you went to go hurt somebody there who was living there, or if you went to go date one of their daughters, or if you went to go date one of their boys, or if you went over there to invite them for FOSPA, depending on who was home and depending the time of day, depending on what your reason for going there is, you would get a response. Somebody lives there. There's a presence there. There's a power there. But hell? There is nothing but death there. There is no body there. There is no presence there. There is no power there. There is no life there. There are no rights there. There is nothing to fight for and nothing to get and nothing to gain and nobody with any hope. There is nothing there but eternal suffering, eternal death, and eternal separation. Like we read in the scripture where the smoke goes up and up every single day forever and ever. Hell has as much power against you as your closet does. It's a place. And who does that place belong to? Somebody say it. Yeah. God. Hell is God's place. It's not a good place. But God made it for a very good reason. Who is the leader in heaven? God is. Who is the leader on earth? God is. Who is the leader in hell? God is. God is. Hell is a place. God made it. It belongs to him. It's his tool. It's his utility for his purpose to do what he made it for. He uses it like we would use a compost heap in the backyard. He uses it like we would use a storage space where we put all our unwanted stuff. He uses it like a prison or a dungeon or a garbage dump. It belongs to God, and all the unwanted and all the unknown stuff gets put there, and it gets forgotten. It gets forgotten there where there is fire and smoke and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell was not made for people. When God made hell, he made it for Satan and his angels, for Lucifer, the most glorious and beautiful angel of them all, who stood up and tried to take over heaven and even rule over God. Today I'm doing a study on hell and how hell has no power. Hell has no evil in it. Hell is not the devil. Hell is a utility tool that belongs to God. The reason why I'm talking about this is because various Christians and often many preachers and teachers and leaders will share statements like, "We are going to prevail against the powers of hell." There's no power there. I just want to make that very clear. Hell is not Satan's kingdom, where Satan is the ruler. Hell is not the place where Satan gets his power from. Satan has more power than a man, than a person. Satan has more power than a person does. But where does a person get their power from? From God. Where does Satan get his power from? From God. God made all of the angels. But just like people use their gifts and their intentions to sin And they use it to rebel and defy God, or to be independent, or to be atheist, or unbelief, or whatever it is that we can convince ourselves of. That's what Satan and his angels do too. There's a whole host of angels that got cast out of heaven. A third of all the angels in heaven got cast to the earth. They're not in hell. The earth is not their place, but the earth is where they are, and that's where they have their reign. The prince of the power of the air, like we will read in Scripture, and that's Satan and all of his angels that are here on earth. Just like people do evil with the good that they've been given, with their skills and their intentions, so too Satan and his angels do evil. But God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. And just like people get their power from God, their gifts, their skills, so do Satan and his angels. Now God, if we read in the Catechism, we can see that God is a spirit. He is infinite without beginning or end. Angels are not. God is eternal and unchangeable in his being. He is wisdom and power, holiness, justice, goodness, truth. He is all-sufficient. That means he has all of the power. He is incomprehensible. You cannot measure God. And yet he reveals himself to us. That story of where he walks past Moses on the mountain, where as he passed by, he protected Moses by covering him with his hand. And Moses could see his back, and after Moses saw his back, his face literally shone like the sun for like 30 days or so. God is so good, we can't even look at him or we would die. Satan is not God's equal. Hell is not Satan's kingdom and heaven God's kingdom, and the two kingdoms are at war with each other. That's why that passage of Scripture in German was so amazing to know that Satan is cast out of heaven. So he's like a lion roaring around, just hoping he's going to find somebody who will lay still long enough so he can eat them. But if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. You also should flee from sin and temptation and the devil. So as soon as a dead thing jumps up, well, that's scary to just anybody. So if we allow Satan to eat us up, he can. If you lay still long enough, but resist him, proclaim Christ saves you. You are safe. Life is hard, as we heard in the first message, but you are safe. Satan is not God's equal. Satan is an angel that God created. He rebelled against God and he tried to take over. Satan is much more powerful than a person, but he is an angel, not God. Satan, just like a man, God, unbegrieblich. God, he can be everywhere at the same time. He can do everything. He has all the power to start and stop anything that he wants. Everything is his creation. He knows everything. He's everywhere all at the same time. If we all started praying out loud right now, this room would sound like chaos. But he would be with you and only you as long as it took you to pray. And he would listen to you. And he can do that at the same time with every other person sitting around you. Satan can't do that. Satan can only talk to and listen to one person at the same time. Satan cannot read your mind. Satan cannot be here and in Manitoba and in Texas and in Mexico and in BC and in Puerto Rico. Satan can't be there at the same time. He can only be in one chair at a time, just like you. He's an angel. He is a ministering spirit. If you study angels in the Bible, you'll see one time when the angel Gabriel was coming to earth to give a message to somebody from God. But it took a long time because he had to fight his way through certain circumstances to get here. It took a long time. God heard the prayer. God sent an angel. It took the angel a long time because there was a traffic jam, or a war, or there was a huge problem that he had to go through first, and Satan was resisting him so that he could not get here. But when that angel finally got here, then the people got the message that God had for them. Angels are just like people, in a way, where they're individuals and they can only go so far. They can't read your mind, and they can't control you. They can only be in one place at one time. We just don't want to underestimate our enemy, God's enemy. God has a place. It's heaven. And God has all the power. Satan has a place. And it's on earth. That's not where he wants to be. And Satan's strength is very limited. Satan can't do anything on earth without God's permission. And you can read that in the story of Job. And that's a long, long story. But it's a good one. And when you read it to the very end, you will find out how God put Satan and Job in his place. And he is glorious, and Job was extremely blessed, even though he too was extremely wrong. Satan is not the king of hell. Hell is not a country. Satan is going to be cast away there and exiled there into eternal death and separation from God against his will. Satan hates it there. There is no power in hell. That is sheer defeat. You have no rights there. You are left over. You are left out. You are dead and tormented there forever. That's what happens to Satan there. You do not have to defeat the power of hell. Hell has no power. Hell is God's glorious and righteous tool for God's glorious and righteous purpose. Nobody could make hell except God. He is amazing. Nobody can send anybody there except God. He is amazing. So even those who don't believe and get cast into hell prove the glory of God, because only he could do something like that. Only he could make a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth and where smoke rises and the flames day by day and night by night, forever and ever. Hell is a terrible place. But God uses it to keep his angels there. And God uses it to put the people there who worship him. And God uses it to put the people there whose names are not written in the book of life. Hell has no evil in it. Hell is used for good. Hell is used for God's purpose. It proves his glory again and again.